Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Florida is preparing for the arrival of Tropical Storm Ian, which is forecast to make landfall as a major hurricane later this week. Director of Florida Division of Emergency Management, Kevin Guthrie, tells CNN that evacuation orders are expected to be issued in several parts of the state, including the Florida Keys.
The Keys, especially in lower Keys, their evacuation clearance times are less than a day, so they can wait. What we have to worry about here at the state is regional evacuation clearance time. So when you start to put all of that traffic on the roadway, that then starts to back up the regional evacuation clearance time. That's what we look at. That's why we need 48 to 72 hours of the evacuation order to actually get everything cleared out of the region that needs to be cleared out.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has declared a state of emergency ahead of the storm. The National Hurricane Center says Ian is expected to rapidly increase in strength by later today. It's currently located about 320 miles southeast of Grand Cayman with wind speeds of 50 miles per hour. North Korea test-fired a short-range ballistic missile today. The launch comes ahead of a visit by Vice President Kamala Harris to the region. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the launch is the first known missile test by the North since June.
South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says that North Korea launched a single short-range ballistic missile. It flew from an inland area for about 370 miles eastward into the sea. The U.S. military's Indo-Pacific Command said the launch posed no threat to the U.S., but called the North's ballistic missile programs unlawful and destabilizing. Vice President Harris is due in Seoul Thursday after visiting Japan. The test launch also comes ahead of joint military exercises by a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group and South Korean warships. The USS Ronald Reagan arrived in the port of Busan Friday, the first U.S. carrier to dock in South Korea since 2017. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Tokyo.
A soldier was killed and at least six others were injured in a suicide bombing in Somalia today. Ish Mafandikwa has more.
The suicide bomber detonated at the explosive Veta military base after disguising himself as a regular soldier. According to Reuters, it was not immediately clear who was behind the blast, but Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab carries out regular attacks in the country. The terrorists who have fought Somalia's weak central government since 2006 want to establish an Islamic State that observes a strict interpretation of Sharia law. The Al-Qaeda-linked group is also blamed for burning houses, destroying property, beheading civilians, and demanding taxes from the people. For NPR News, I am Ish Mafundikwa in Harare.
This is NPR. Voting is underway in Italy's general election, with opinion polls suggesting a win for the far right. The frontrunner, Giorgia Meloni, leads the Brothers of Italy party, which has its roots in the neo-fascist movement. Butterflies and bees are getting their own bus stops in the United Kingdom. Vicky Barker reports it's part of an attempt to preserve the nation's threatened populations of pollinating insects.
Special turf-covered bus stops have been installed in 10 British cities so far. They're reinforced roofs planted up with such native, bee-friendly plants as pansies, kidney vetch, thyme, wild strawberries, self-heal, and wild marjoram. The city of Leicester is leading the way. In the past year, it's installed 30 bee bus stops. The city of Brighton got one after a local petition drive garnered 50,000 signatures. England has lost 97% of its wild flower meadows since the Second World War, with an accompanying collapse of flying insect populations. A study of similar bee bus stops in Holland found they helped stabilize threatened bee populations there. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
The World Bank says it will provide about $2 billion in assistance to Pakistan. Heavy rainfall and massive flooding devastated the country this summer, killing more than 1,600 people. The storms have also displaced millions of residents, destroyed crops, and wiped out many roadways. Experts have attributed the unprecedented flooding to climate change. You're listening to NPR News in Washington.